What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2023, and this week's episode, Ngannou signs a deal with the PFL. We'll be talking about the obvious in MMA news, but first, we'll recap UFC Vegas 73 and the strawweight bout between Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill. We'll talk about Francis Ngannou, potentially game-changing deal with the PFL, and the UFC's response to absolutely load up the summer schedule. And we will cap it off by touching on some of the other things coming up, the UFC to Australia, and Conor McGregor possibly finally having a date for his bout with Michael Chandler. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Double G, good morning. How are you doing? Are you overflowing with MMA news and happenings?
Let me tell you something. When I tell you I've had a long freaking week, I mean, I worked most of them. My allergies popped off. So the Tuesday stuff happened. I go to work, and then, like, I see, like, our group chat for work, not that job, MMA. And then I'm like, wait, what? What's happening? And then I'm busy, so I don't even have time. I thought the Poirier, Gaethje, Zhang, Lemos, O'Malley, Sterling stuff was all on the same night. And I was like, oh my gosh, Dana White really with the counter left hook.
Yeah.
And then obviously I realized it spread out. But that's how busy I was. Like, there was so much stuff that happened. And I was so busy, I didn't even get to process it until, like, hours later. Like, I knew the UFC had announced big stuff the same day, but I didn't even get to, like, wait, where am I until, like, 8 o'clock? Then it's like, oh, Salt Lake and Boston, and you get where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
It was wild. What about you? Are you good?
I'm good. You know, everything's a blur for me usually, but this news was popping so big, a lot of it, that I managed to carve out some time to listen and read, you know, important stuff regarding the news and Ngannou specifically. And you know, so I feel like there it was a good week of MMA fighting and news, and not a lot of eye rolling news, which tends to be what makes an MMA week, news week, big. You know, it's usually it's something controversial, but to me, from my perspective, in this for this week, it was just a lot of good, exciting news.
Yeah, the business was just popping. I think that's a good way to say it. We'll get into the news. I think we already want to jump in, but let's give the women their due. This past Saturday, Mackenzie Dern, Angela Hill. I guess depending on what narrative you decide you want to take for the fight, the story of it was Angela's resilience and Mackenzie's dominance. I think the physicality was just there for Mackenzie. Obviously, when she was on the ground, she did everything except get a submission. She never really lost control, never really found herself taking big damage from Angela. All of that just was working for 25 minutes. And depending on how you want to evaluate that, I think that Mackenzie's aggression was maybe there a little more than we saw against Yan Shonan, maybe a little more than the loss to Marina Rodriguez. And depending on how you see that, that's improvement, right? I think there are people who would say Angela Hill by the numbers, you know, this was always an underdog, rightfully so. To her credit, she never gave up. I thought her cardio looked great. I thought that she was just resilient throughout it. But when you see, you know, later in the fight, Mackenzie lands that big knee that really, you know, whenever you have a lot of hair and you see it bounce, it's not a good sign, right?
Yeah.
So I think that she deserves credit, obviously. I mean, this was a very determined fighter to get her out of there, and Angela Hill did a good job of staying out of those positions that have gotten countless women. So I thought that that was well done for Angela, but I think the story of the fight is just Mackenzie dialed in, just kind of for 25 minutes, got to be out there and just kind of rinse out that whole, the bad luck of her Apex main events, right? She talked about that, just every time in an Apex main event, the last two, I didn't get the W, finally I got it, so it was good for her.
It was, yeah, glad that she got the win. Listen, I've never been in a fist fight. I'm short and floppy and I wear glasses, but I
You're not
see
doing that Machida karate?
it. It's too far now. Costa Mesa, are you kidding me? I'll be on the road for 6 hours just to back and
Okay,
forth. But
my
I
bad.
got the UFC gym over here where D Rod goes, you know,
Oh,
he goes to
cool.
the same gym as me, UFC gym, Rosemead. Or he used to go. I doubt he goes there now. But in any case, despite all these things working against me, I still feel like scrappy and, you know, like I'm a tough guy. However, I know enough to never get in a fight with an angry woman, because that is the scariest person to me. An angry woman is super scary, and if she's screaming, that's even scarier. And that's what I saw with Mackenzie Dern. She looked like she was pissed off from the beginning. I know everyone was saying the same thing as the fight was progressing, but she came out pissed off, punching hard. I'll talk about her technique in a little bit, but the energy, her goal was just to be destructive, and I really enjoyed that. Angela Hill, to her credit or to her detriment, is tough as heck, right? If she had been less tough, she would have been able to go home sooner, go home earlier with less damage, but too tough for her own good, I won't say that. She just ate a lot of hard punches and that big killer knee. Credit to her for her defense on the ground against the cage. So impressive. I mean, to go 5 rounds being fatigued, punched in the face, and all taking on that damage and still being able to stave off every single submission attempt for Mackenzie Dern, that's amazing. She was ranked 14th. I don't know if this happens. If you lose a fight, do you ever go up in the rankings? I think she should go up at least a notch or something for that performance, for her ability to stay in that performance and not be finished. Back to Mackenzie Dern, though. I mean, she was fighting with a level of ferocity that was pretty astonishing. You know, we knew she had power going into this fight because of what we'd seen with Amanda Bobby Cooper, particularly. That's the one that I recalled especially. But in general, she has power. And I think that must come from the jiu-jitsu background. You just build in, you know, tiny muscles the way, you know, Khabib and all those guys do too. But she actually looked kind of yoked this time around. I don't know if you were able to see the definition of her shoulders and her biceps. Like, she's clearly putting work in, either in the gym or just working on the striking to such a degree that it's developing her musculature.
They talked about that on the broadcast that she's been lifting, like she wants to, like she's okay cutting more weight. She wants to be a bigger athlete out there, is what they
Okay.
said.
Yeah, I mean, she's walking in there with a lot of muscle, and, you know, not, I don't say this, you know, derogatorily, fat too in a good way. Like, you gotta have a nice combination of both. That's just how women are built. So she has that too, and it gives her a lot of power. And the only thing, and I'm not going to be the only one with this perspective, point of view, the striking just needs to be smoothed out more. I know she's working on it. Like, obviously, she's improved greatly. She still gets sloppy. There's not much of a stance there, but it's effective against someone like Angela Hill, who doesn't have the best footwork, right? She's known for her stand-up, but she's still not an elite stand-up fighter, Angela Hill. So this was a great matchup. It got Mackenzie Dern back in the win column, showed off her physique, her power, her grit, and I'm very, very curious to see who she gets matched up with next, because anyone who's a better striker than Hill, of which there are a lot in that division, would put up an interesting fight against Mackenzie Dern, who's not afraid to throw punches, to throw bombs, because she doesn't care if you take her down. So
Yeah, I think that I mean, let's talk about the future then for Mackenzie, because I think that's, the big elephant in the room. You had fights with two top contenders, you lost them. Jan Chanan's there for the title. Marina Rodriguez still ahead of you, but maybe not, the next in line, so to speak. And now it's like, all right, at strawweight, it's this interesting conundrum. Carla Esparza's off the board, obviously expecting. And then you have the recently announced title fight, which has Lemos in the lead, getting the next title shot. Mackenzie called for Rose Namajunas. I will say that is a big, that's a big challenge, because you've got to think it's Zhang Weili, like almost 1A, 1B, Zhang Weili, Rose, and then everybody else. And I know Zhang Weili looked fantastic, took out Joanna, took out Carla. But
yeah.
remember, this is a girl. Rose Namajunas beat her twice,
Beat
back
her
to back,
twice. Yep.
and looked fantastic. Most people said this might be, right neck and neck when she's on with Valentina as the most talented female fighter we have on the roster in terms of skills, her striking, her grappling, everything she could do. Now, where is Rose Namajunas? She doesn't really do much media. The social media makes it seem like she's looking to go out there and compete in grappling. And now we kind of talked about this with Anthony Smith last week, right? Like, now we speculate. Why isn't she fighting? Why doesn't she want to? Why? What is going? Blah blah blah. If she doesn't say, we're just speculating. And because I know what the narrative has previously been set out there, it's like she doesn't like the attention, more private life. I know that that narrative is out there. She isn't saying it. I'm not gonna go ahead and say it like, oh, she's just trying to get out of the limelight.
Right, we have no clue.
But we do have a question now. Let's say it bluntly, you doesn't seem like you should have taken a lot of damage from that Carla fight. It's been more than a year now. What is exactly going on? And if it's just a matter of, I'm gonna, maybe she doesn't feel the need to say it like he didn't, but Nate Diaz, like, I'm gonna fight when I wanna fight, when I decide to fight, when they offer me enough money. I mean, that's what happened. Remember, he took 2 years off, beat Michael Johnson, and then 3 months later shocked Conor McGregor. But he had willingly taken a layoff. He's like, I'm just going to take 2 years off. I don't want to fight. It wasn't a thing. It was still popular and all that. If Rose Namajunas is just saying, I've had the belt, defended the belt, lost the belt, won the money, been on pay-per-view, I just don't want to fight right now, that's her prerogative. But without telling us that, there is an elephant in the room factor to this all now, right? And so that's my one thing. If Rose Namajunas is on the board, the layoff and everything, does that make sense for Mackenzie? You feel like maybe catching someone like Rose at a good time? Kind of, yeah. Is that still a big mountain to climb, I think, for any strawweight any given night? Absolutely. But okay, that's out there. Like I said, Amanda Lemos is off the board. I would have thought that if they went with Yan Shonan, maybe that fight would have been made sense. But now looking at it, Jessica Andrade coming off a loss. I don't know if Jessica wants to take time off, but that one, isn't too crazy. They just announced Tatiana Suarez versus Virna Jandiroba. I would have thought that maybe Tatiana could be a potential opponent, but that's off the board. So,
That would have been a great one, man.
oh yeah,
That would have
wrestling
been
versus jiu-jitsu,
particular,
let's just go for it. But yeah, now looking at all the pieces, if not Rose, then let's see where Jessica Andrade is at in a while. And just go from there. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those are the only ones that make sense. Suarez, the size, they would be sort of more or less match size wise, more so than Mackenzie Dern is with some other fighters, and Todd, same for Tatiana. Andrade, of course, there's a big height difference no matter who she fights, but tough as heck. And they're both kind of wingers. She's a winger, and so is Mackenzie Dern, although I might think Mackenzie Dern's got more power than Andrade.
I think I'm not sure about that. I just think that Jessica Andrade just has that denser fist kind of deal. I think Mackenzie's, she puts her weight behind it, but put it this way, it's like she, it's they both swing with hammers. Mackenzie's is that rubber hammer.
A mallet,
Yeah,
okay.
and then Jessica Andrade has that, steel on steel, just galvanized iron, you know
I
what I
like it.
mean?
I like it. Yeah.
That's the difference between the two. I will put, yes, Mackenzie knows, like, just, she's not afraid to just put her weight behind it and just try to crack you, but Jessica Andrade, her power's just different. Claudia Gadea, one of the most athletically gifted strawweights, even she was like, I don't, sh it should be unfair for her to fight at 115. She's just too stupidly strong. And it's like, when a woman like that is saying it about Andrade, I think that's everything you need to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but, yeah, for my money, Andrade when she gets back or Namajunas. Like I said, Tatiana would have been nice, but she's booked, so that's just where we're at.
All right.
Let's talk about a couple of the highlights real quick. Obviously, a couple people were going to sleep. Diego Ferreira, airplane mode, Michael Johnson. I mean, that was low key. If you remember back when Johnny Hendricks, before he had his big fight with GSP, like he sent Martin Kampmann just kind of like flying 6 feet vertically before he went down to the cage. That's what that reminded me of. Just Michael Johnson almost seemed to move in slow motion, and then he just lands and stays down fast asleep. Very vicious. Nothing more to add except that's the kind of victory you want to have over a Michael Johnson if you're trying to show you are at a different level. So good for Diego. What about you?
Man, that was vicious. And you know, it's one of those, we've seen a lot of fighting, a lot of knockouts. They're not always like this. These are the rare ones where the toes curl up and the tendons and the shoulder and the scapula and the clavicle get all tense. And I mean, he's just crunched up, and they do that deep, heavy breathing because the computer is shut off. And man, it was hard to watch. You know, his head wasn't even on the canvas. He was so tense that his head was lifted because of the tension in his neck. Herb Dean had to come cradle his head for him. It was a clean, lights out, unplugged, battery yanked. I mean, there's nothing in there. And a good win for Diego. But up until then, I thought it was a good fight. I thought they were going back and forth. Michael Johnson, to me, looked good. He was game. They were scrapping. So, you know, it's too bad for him. I don't know how old he is. He looks to be in great shape. He still has speed. He still has power. But you don't want to eat too many of those.
Oh yeah, like look, he's obviously been at it for a long time. I think that oh my gosh, like his season of the Ultimate Fighter, I want to say he's like the last guy left. I forget who else was with him, but I feel like he's one of those last man standing kind of deals.
Yeah.
I'll check for it. While I'm looking that up though, can we talk about Joaquin Buckley gets that finish on Andre Fiallo? And just, I mean, what can you really say about it? He just did such a, looks still just very built. He's obviously a very stocky guy, even at middleweight. But at welterweight, I was just like, okay, you know, a guy who could do this to the competition, this could be a very interesting, you know, player in the game. I thought he looked decent at 170. He obviously still has a lot more to do if he's going to kind of get into that conversation, but I just like that finish. I thought it was very gangster. I thought it was actually borderline uncalled for. Like the ref is coming in, he sees Andre's out, but he still lands one more anyway, and I'm like, oh, come on. What did you think of that?
Yeah, those are always a little bit, you know, not cringy, but they just make you feel uncomfortable because as the outsider, we feel like it's obvious that no more punches should be thrown. But I don't know when you're in there, what you're seeing, how it looks. But yeah, in general, I don't like it. It's a great win for him. And, you know, the move down, you never know when fighters change weight, if it's going to work out for them or not. But it seems like this is the good place for him. I remember when Cerrone moved up to 170 and he had a little bit of success, like Mike Perry. That was a great win. But he just ends up saying, ultimately, those boys are too big for me. And that seems to be what Joaquin Buckley was saying about middleweight. So, you know, we'll be watching, curious to see how this shakes out. But yeah, the physique, the power, the skills, this could be an interesting addition for sure.
Yeah, by the way, real quick, Alex Caceres from Michael Johnson's season, the only other guy left
Okay,
still in the
got it.
UFC. But you know, credit to those guys. But yeah, you know, back to Buckley, obviously, look, we know how exciting he can be. We know what his ceiling is when he's out there, and you know, he's fast and dynamic and he could connect. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing how he handles the competition moving forward, because I think he could be a very fun player at 170, more so than 85, where he was giving up that size. So looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Look, good night. Obviously, you know, people got after it throughout the night. Everything was preceded by the Super Tuesday of MMA news, so I'm not gonna act like you don't already know what happened. Francis Ngannou made it official. He is with the PFL for a multi-fight deal. I watched his interview with Helwani. He indicated probably about two or three fights. I'm assuming there's a time, like guaranteed two, but maybe a window for a potential third if everything goes well. So that's how I interpreted his comments, but he did keep that this, you know, undisclosed for now. You've seen the details by now. He's also going to be a chairman of PFL Africa. So similar to like PFL Europe, I'm assuming a kind of separate league where the PFL brand does run it, but essentially it's like, all right, guys, compete. It's local, regional to Africa, and then obviously there's always a bridge to go to mainline PFL, $1 million fighting the United States, etc. He also fought for other stuff that he got. His opponent will make no less than $2 million. And the big one, he obviously still has the freedom to box anywhere he wants. That is, as I understand it, still a non-exclusive deal, so it doesn't have to be with an ESPN partner, like
Gotcha.
Top Rank. And then finally, the last note, which I think was very telling, his debut, it's May, and he said, "We're not fighting in PFL till mid-2024." Now, I know there's obviously a reaction. I'm gonna go ahead and let you react to it, but then I'm gonna let you obviously lead into it. This is obviously the potential to be game changing, but what does PFL need to do with it? So I'm gonna let you react and then just give me your answer to that question. What you think?
Yeah, first, there had been grumblings about the PFL getting signing Francis Ngannou. So, not totally surprised by that specific news. Very surprised by the details that they released along with that news, including the debut being so far away. But we'll get into that. Chairman of PFL Africa, it sounds good on paper. It makes me think of Misha Tate being the VP of,
One.
yeah, but I can't remember what the title was.
It's like athlete relations,
Yeah, something
something
like
like
that. And,
that.
I have no idea what her job actually entailed day to day. So I'm not trying to knock it, but on paper, that sounded kind of like, we just wanted to hire a big name and have her be the face of one of the faces of the company. And I think it was successful and it worked for her too. In any case, yeah, what does it mean to be the chairman of PFL Africa? I have no idea, but I do know from hearing Francis Ngannou do many interviews, including this big one with Helwani, that he takes this kind of stuff, growing the sport in Africa, very, very seriously. He's a man who knows his own mind. He can cut through the BS. He can see right through anybody who's trying to sell him a bill of goods. He will not let anyone take advantage of him. Look, the man is just very secure with his in his mind, his thoughts. He's confident. And so what I say is that I think this position will become what he wants it to, whatever he wants it to become. He's going to run with it and I think take it upon himself to lead the charge and PFL in Africa. Okay. My favorite component of this whole deal is the opponents receiving no less than $2 million. It's a jaw-dropping, line item in this deal. To the generosity that he's showing in making this arrangement, it's almost not even generosity though. The way he puts it is like, I wouldn't feel right having someone go. It's like how that's how highly he values himself and understands his physical power. It's like I wouldn't feel right going in there with someone and promoting this fight and it just being me getting all the money, because that would be like taking advantage, right? And so he understands, I think, that it elevates the sport, it elevates fighters' rights, fighters' power. And once you establish this, minimum of $2 million, it's going to be something that people will look at and say, okay, here's the precedent for why I can ask for this much and more. So this is like a bombshell news to me. It really blew my mind. The freedom to box anywhere, that's great. The PFL was probably going to do whatever they had to do to get him. And so I'm glad they did that. It will work in their favor if he gets a good boxing fight as soon as possible in 2023 and is able to win or at least put on a very, very, very good show. So I hope he can get Tyson Fury locked in. I know Deontay Wilder was there was working, they were working on it, but he had to do something else, a mandatory or whatever. Anthony Joshua has called it a gimmick fight. So I'm looking at Tyson Fury and hoping that they can get this done, but my boxing, I'm not up to date with my boxing. Doesn't Tyson Fury have something going on?
Man, they've, as I understand it, they have talks, talks fall apart. My understanding is Saudi Arabia really wants to host a Tyson Fury fight, and they're pushing for Usyk, but if I'm being quite blunt, and this is going to lead into my conversation, a guy who just never seems to get his number brought up seems to be Francis Ngannou. They haven't been, talks fell apart, so they're going to talk about Fury and Ngannou in Ara Saudi Arabia. It just isn't happening. I'll s so I want to put a pin on that. I'm going to come back to it. So you know I always like to shoot straight, right? Let's
Yes,
just
sir.
call it how it is. I saw Dana White's presser, which, let's be honest, he knew very well it was going to be the let me give my Francis Ngannou response press
Yeah. Oh,
conference.
yeah, he knew that.
Okay. First off, let me make it clear. Francis Ngannou won. Francis Ngannou is getting paid. Francis Ngannou's been set for life. Francis Ngannou, if this goes well, he will not only continue to make wealth. Best case scenario, he might be talking about generational wealth with a deal in Africa and being a part of it. And if this grows, and Kamaru Usman has his promotion in Africa, I'm not saying it's like a thing that we have established like the PFL Europe, Bellator Europe, but okay, they are investing enough that this could be a thing, right? So I want to acknowledge that. He's got, skin in the game now. He's getting, a piece of the action. He's won. If he takes an L in his PFL debut, he's still getting paid huge money for it and the
Correct.
pay-per-view points, because fans will just tune in to watch it. That's how big he is. He got all of that. He won. His wallet won. His business side won. He took the W, even if he takes an L in his boxing debut and MMA. Let's make it clear. Okay. I listen to Dana and I look at this, and here's my biggest thing. When you talk about the debut in mid 2024, and I heard this one of the pro wrestling guys say it, why don't you announce like the next WrestleMania main event at the previous WrestleMania, the current one? And they're like, because a lot of things can happen in 12 months, and you don't want to make it where nothing else matters between now and 12 months except this one guy. All the pay-per-views, all the matches, you don't want to be in that position. You want to be able to sell the stuff between now and then. When I think about Ngannou debuting in 2024, Natalie, we're in May. Last week it was, the 15th, 16th about this time, mid-May. I mean, that is a long time to, quote, stay excited about this. And now, I'm assuming we're going to see Francis Ngannou a lot more between now and then on PFL stuff. But my point is, without a fight, it's hard to keep that heat up, so to speak. We're talking about it with Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler and Connor might fight in December. But you feel it. It's like, do we have heat? For crying out loud, people were saying it may not even happen up until a few days ago, for crying out loud. So that is my one worry with that. In terms of the waiting in the boxing, when I hear this, Deontay Wilder has a different fight, Anthony Joshua not interested. I know Dana also has to be a bit of a promoter, but part of me does see this, and we talked about it. That big fight for Francis Ngannou, let's be blunt, the guys aren't talking about it. And that's not all his fault. It seemed like Tyson Fury almost threw the logs on the fire and then walked away from it. Like, I changed my mind. It was for a pro wrestling gimmick. And I don't know if Francis Ngannou personally maybe felt like, hey, this is a strong possibility still. I don't know. But when I think about this, I do wonder, like, if there's not no mega fight that comes out of this and a big payday, on the fighting side, do you now have an issue where you might have overpaid possibly if you're PFL? And now let's make it clear. If they double up Francis and Jake Paul, it really doesn't matter. This thing will pop off. They will probably get a good chunk of the money they spent back for those two guys. But when I looked at it, I was like, this is a long wait before we see him make money for PFL in a very tangible way. And then, without no big boxing fight, I was a little like, In terms of the fighting, are we now in a precarious position? Now, once again, Francis Ngannou doesn't have to fight anybody else. He won the game. He won the business. No one could take away the fact that he essentially knocked out. Yeah, he has knocked out every heavyweight champion of the last decade besides DC and Werdum.
Yeah.
Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, Stipe Miocic. Slept all three of them. Slept plenty of guys. Overeem, Jairzinho. Got a win over Ciryl Gane. All of that is always on his resume. You cannot take that away. But my one thing about it is, as we wait for his debut and as we figure out who he's going to fight in boxing, yes, it does start to feel like that fight will not be as big as him versus Jon Jones. And Francis Ngannou's okay with that. And my final note will be, everyone made the choices that they had to make for UFC. They're not changing the business for one guy, even your, knockout machine heavyweight champion.
Right.
We're not doing sponsors on the shorts. We have a system, and that's it. We've offered him a ton of money. Okay, they stuck to their guns. They're gonna keep rolling because that's how UFC works.
Right.
Francis Ngannou, he felt there was money on the table, and he said, "You know what? I'm not gonna leave it on the table anymore. I do want to know what I do want to go out there and try to make that bigger money. And if I don't have the freedom under UFC, I'm gonna do it in boxing." I'm gonna leave it at this. When he said there was a crypto company that said they would sponsor me, pay me $1 million, but when the UFC signed with crypto, they're like, if I'm signed by DraftKings and the UFC is with FanDuel, I know it's the other way around, I have to walk out wearing a big FanDuel logo on the middle of the shirt, right? The same way the UFC fighters had the crypto. I understand if DraftKings is not going to pay me, knowing full well I'm going to walk out for this big fight wearing the competitor's logo on my shirt,
Right.
front and center. When he said $1 million got left on the table just for one sponsor, I am aware of how much money is being left potentially. And I understand him saying, "I don't want to leave that on the table anymore." Once again, he's going to get pay-per-view points off his fight in boxing. He will definitely get it on MMA. He's going to make a lot of money. My one thing about this is a long time to have to stay excited for his PFL debut. And then finally, it comes down to the boxing. Does he get a big fight? And that is my one concern in this whole deal for Ngannou, is that we felt like this was framed. He will leave UFC because there's a big fight in boxing,
Right.
and that feels the most unlikely thing as we speak today, Monday, May 22nd.
It does, except, a big fight in boxing, the biggest fight in boxing would be Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua.
Yes.
Can you still make a big fight with Andy Garcia or who else? I can't think of anybody else. Some other heavyweight that still has gravitas in the sport.
Wait, do you mean Andy Ruiz who
I'm
beat
sorry, Andy
Joshua?
Ruiz. Not yes, yeah, thank you, Andy Ruiz. Not the actor Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. Andy Ruiz, thank you. I would watch that. I wouldn't call him a B-level fighter, but he's not after losing to Anthony Joshua the way he did in the second fight. His stock dropped a little bit, but he's rebuilding. He's still a heavyweight. He's still out there. He's a big contender. He's a big name. Is someone like that meaningful enough for this year for Francis Ngannou, or does it have to be these three guys or nothing?
Right, I get what you're saying.
And so, and yeah, okay. So I'm hoping that they can figure out a way, but it doesn't seem like it with these guys. And so then, if you find a different important heavyweight to fight, I think that's still exciting. But yeah, if the boxing fight does not materialize in 2023, let me back up and put it this way. I think PFL is paying for the Francis Ngannou that will be a bigger star in 2024 because of what he wants to do in 2023 in boxing.
Okay.
That's what they're paying for. So if he doesn't get that fight, what does that mean for 2024, Francis, that will debut in PFL? I don't know. It's going to be a long time since we've seen him fight. I think at that point, it would depend on who they are able to get as his opponent. It can't be somebody from PFL that's already there. It has to be a bigger name than that. And I don't know where you get a bigger name. You bring Fedor out of retirement. I don't know what you do. For
So,
2 million, you already have Verdum, right? Offering to fight him.
oh yeah, well, that's the running joke now. Like, it used to be fight Conor McGregor, that's red panty night. Oh, let me
Right.
fight Francis Ngannou.
You might
Bust
not
out the
want
red
that with your
panties,
brain cells,
$2 million.
yeah.
Well, hey, you could do that against a no-name heavyweight. If
That's
it happens
true.
against Ngannou, it's not that bad. Okay, so you brought up a lot. That is true. I guess now you have to have a real talk. Can you promote it and let it marinate enough that the hype would still be there? So, for example, if Tyson Fury fought Ngannou today, oh, the UFC's best, scariest heavyweight against boxing's number one heavyweight talent-wise right now. Okay, maybe Usyk's there, but I'm not going to get into that. That's a boxing podcast show. All right, that's huge. A year from now, if Ngannou fights a tune-up and he's fought PFL, and then we're talking about a Fury Wilder, is that hype still there? I mean, you could promote it the same, but is it? And then the John Jones, Stipe, all this part of it, and now people talking about Pavlovich, and suddenly it's like the fire is just not as hot. It's still
Yeah.
there, but it's just not as hot. And that's my thing. All of these things, there's a time to make all of it. Mayweather-Pacquiao. Had it happened years earlier, it might have even done more gangbusters. It still made history. Imagine if it happened sooner. That is how big these things are. I think that there's that obvious caveat of it. And like I said, we won't know. If he does a tune-up and then they're talking boxing, I'm sure it'd be huge. And then in terms of the PFL opponent, the one thing about this window, they have a lot of time to either find somebody or build up somebody. And I think that's probably, done on purpose, is that you have time to do this, and maybe you could really promote the heavyweight champion who wins this season. I don't know, but you have all those things out there now, and they have time to work with it. My thing is about waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
And then finally, before we move on from this, when you talk about changing the business, I know I might have thrown the bucket of cold water over the last several minutes. I will say, you now put these guys in a position where PFL has a direct pay-per-view competitor with both Ngannou and Jake Paul. That is something that MMA fans, combat sports fans will pay to watch. That is
Right.
not a UFC product when you talk about MMA. And that is huge. That is something, let's be real, people will laugh about buying every UFC pay-per-view. They almost fall off their couch talking about buying a Bellator pay-per-view or the PFL championships. This one is real. This one is, you find the right opponents, you promote the heck out of it, people will open their wallets to watch. That is something that I don't know that we've ever really been able to say in MMA in the modern era. I know Affliction tried it, a couple others tried it, but this is one where it's like, no, seriously, like, this is huge. This is easily the biggest thing in like over 10 years in terms of competition for the UFC.
Yes, you're right.
And I'm not talking about fight night versus fight night. I'm talking about pay-per-view level.
Pay-per-view.
Could that change the game? Could that change the business? Absolutely. I'm not saying overnight. I'm not saying, oh, suddenly it's 1A, 1B, UFC, PFL. But you give these guys somewhere to go. And when we've talked about everything we've already talked about, this idea of, young prospects saying, hey, I can get paid more upfront at PFL than UFC. I don't need to have the brand name on my, attached to me before I make money. All of that is huge, especially when you look out for the talent that Cedric Doumbé, who's also like Francis from Cameroon, moved to France, big kickboxer, they signed him. All of those guys, the Ray Coopers of the world, all the, the way Bellator picks up Rafion Stotts and Petr Mix. All of that talent going to you instead of potentially a contender series or an LFA, all of that is very significant. And you got to keep that in mind when you talk about the big picture. At a certain point, you got to still be able to recruit those stars. UFC will always be able to, but now there's even more competition and it's getting hotter. And once again, we saw this UFC with the college stuff and the, sponsorships or endorsement, whatever, with
The name
Bellemere.
image like this, yeah.
Yes. Now it's like everyone knows that you want to have your foot in with the prospects. So,
Of course, yeah.
and there we are. I wish it was happening tomorrow. It's not. So, the future for Ngannou we'll talk about another day.
Well, hold on.
UFC.
I'm sorry. I
Go
got it
ahead.
because I got to ask you this. You're the inside man, and I'm asking because Dana White put it out there.
Go for it.
PFL, Bellator, what's the truth to that? Is there any truth to that?
The rumors is there were talks between PFL and Bellator is what I've been told that that was a very real thing that happened.
Okay, a conversation happened.
Yes, now I think the thing is price. I think that there was not they did not see eye to eye on the price point. But I do think that the impression we are getting is that Showtime wants out of the Bellator business. It's just, it didn't have a trickle-down effect from their boxing.
No.
It doesn't generate the numbers. I think even MMA fans, I'll say it right now, I don't have Showtime. I know a lot of people do, I don't. And I think that for the many fans like me who found it very convenient to have it always accessible on Spike, then Paramount, then CBS Network. I think DAZN, the second my 6 months of DAZN wore off, I'll be honest, it took a while for DAZN to catch on. I wasn't down with it anymore. I don't like us, unless a Canelo or the guys are fighting, I wasn't about having it for boxing. And for just in the era of the subscription service, everyone has a plus or something.
I know.
I just wasn't with it. And I think for the many fans who are like, oh, Bellator's promoting, and we talked about this, for the MMA fans who have it, they have a hard time sometimes hooking you in. So now when you keep putting this stuff behind a paywall, now we're talking about, okay, fans are just like, I have ESPN Plus. I could get all the UFC and PFL I want. I don't need to pay for more MMA.
And it's so easy because phone, computer, you can send it to your TV or if you
Yep.
have a Roku or whatever people use now, it's so much easier. Now you can still do the same thing with Showtime. And I actually do have Showtime, but I'm going to tell you, for whatever reason, the darn Roku always logs me out of Showtime. It's the only app where that happens. And my husband has the password for the you have to do it through your Spectrum, log into Spectrum, just
Oh, yeah,
it's a
your
whole
cable
thing.
provider. Yep.
Exactly. So every time I want to watch a Bellator fight, it's like, oh man, they logged me out. Where's my husband? Where's the password? It's like a whole thing, right? First world problems, of course. However, if Bellator should pie in the sky end up under the PFL ESPN Plus umbrella, nothing would make me happier.
Well, if I'm being very real with you, I actually don't think that would happen. I think that PFL would buy Bellator and essentially absorb them. They'll keep who they want. They'll just release the contracts they don't.
Okay.
So, hey, we'll take an AJ McKee here, take
Right,
a
right,
Johnny
right. Take
Eblen
the
over
big ones, yeah.
here.
But are they still on ESPN Plus? That's all I care.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, they probably would be. But my thing about this is that Bellator, if let's say their deal is up at the end of this year with
Yeah.
Showtime, where do you really go from here? Because it feels like without a good broadcast partner, helping to pay those bills could be harder
Right.
if you're Bellator. And now we're talking about Kayla Harrison and AJ McKee signed a multi-fight contract, lucrative, and Chris Cyborg, right? Where are we really going? Because I think that I would love more than anything to see Bellator return to cable. I think that that is a sweet spot for them. I think that if you have guys like AJ on cable, you can make Kayla versus Cyborg on cable,
Heck
things
yeah.
like that. Now suddenly we're cooking with the gas again. Patchy Mix is doing well. Obviously, you have new stars like Johnny Eblen coming in. You have a lot of pieces that are great. Vadim Nemkov is in a great spot in his career. All of those pieces are so awesome. To have them more accessible again would be great. But I think that with the current model working behind the paywall, it just feels like an uphill battle every time. And that's unfair. I do feel like guys like Patchy and them should get promoted. We should be able to get MMA fans in droves to check this out because it's a great time in combat sports. We keep saying it. And I keep going back to it. I hate to say it. It is hard to compete in this landscape because to many fans, it is binary. You either watch everything or you just watch UFC.
That's true.
I know plenty of people, they love UFC. If I ask them about Bellator PFL, and it's like, oh, and that's fine. I don't watch every basketball team, even though I like the Lakers. I get it. But when you talk about competing in this business, that is a tough, it's just so tough to climb this mountain. And that's where they're at. And I think that Bellator needs to find a spot where they can stay competitive as PFL heats up. And one championship is doing more and probably going to stack their events more for the Western audience. You need something to compete with that to stay in this game. Otherwise, yeah, you talk about 1-2-3, UFC 1, PFL 2. You don't want to be at number 3. I think there's still argument for number 2, but you don't want to be bumped officially to number 3. You get what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I know, I get what you mean. I think with that in mind, we'll see what shakes out with this, with these conversations or rumors, but I would be excited, forget about where you can watch it, but I would be excited about merging PFL and Bellator for a number of reasons. If you take the best of Bellator and, that would suck for the fighters that don't make the cut. But the folks at the top of Bellator, the names that we tune in to watch, those are really awesome fighters. If they made their way into PFL, tournament or pay-per-view only, that would be very exciting, man. And especially, all this talk and then followed by disappointment regarding Cyborg and Harrison, I feel like this is never going to happen. Well, maybe Cyborg sort of quietly re-signed with Bellator because they knew that this was in the future and it would happen naturally when they got folded in to PFL. So there's a lot of things I would look forward to should this happen. I know there's nothing, official or even close to official, but pie in the sky, I'm on board. What happens to Scott Coker, though? I wonder if he has a position at PFL or if he's like, I'm going to walk off into the sunset. I've done it all.
I do know he had a position when UFC bought Strikeforce, and he said, I want to make it clear, everybody was really nice and generous, and I had a thing to do and all that. Obviously, it wasn't for me, and I found my own thing again, but he said, no, it happened, and we were cool, and I will say that about Scott Coker. He always calls it down the middle, too. Sometimes he can't tell us everything, and you know when he's doing it, but I completely get where he's coming from.
The man is as forthright as you can be in that position, for
Oh,
sure.
yes, for sure, for sure.
All right. Thank you
I know.
for indulging
Oh,
my
yeah.
tangent.
No, it's fine. Like I said, I mean, Bellator already beat Ryzen. I mean, they went 5-0, beat all their champs. I mean, what else could you want? Let's talk about one, let's talk about somewhere else. The UFC, so that was Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, around 3 or so, Dana White decided that he was done hearing about Francis Ngannou, and he went off. So I'm gonna just list them real quick. UFC 291, July 29th, Salt Lake City, Utah. Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje for the vacant BMF title. I have questions, but okay. Jan Blachowicz versus Alex Pereira welcomes Alex to 205. Tony Ferguson, Bobby Green. Paulo Costa versus Ikram Aliskarov. Paulo Costa said that deal isn't done. Stephen Thompson, Michel Pereira, they were going to fight in a couple weeks in June. They pushed back. Fight stays together. Derek Lewis versus Rogério de Lima, and then not for nothing, Michael Chiesa against Kevin Holland. Before I'm done talking, UFC 291 in Boston, August 19th, Zhang Weili, Amanda Lemos, Aljamain Sterling, Sean O'Malley, Sterling, I mean, on Monday, he still said he needed x-rays on his hand. Everyone is saying the same thing. Aljamain Sterling has not said this fight is happening yet. It could. Most people are saying it probably won't. Does it happen? We'll get into that. Okay. I know we could talk a lot about these. I want to just get through the highlights very bluntly. I'm gonna just say it. I love the fight objectively. Dustin Poirier just engaging number two, run it back. Poirier won the first one. Let's get it. Awesome. Guaranteed violence. If I'm either of these guys, I'm gonna just say it right now. I think the UFC put themselves in a big pickle, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
Wait 2, 3 weeks. I think, yeah, just about 2.5 weeks now. Charles Oliveira beats Beneil Dariush. Dustin Poirier could fight for the undisputed belt in October. Instead, now you're there. Or Poirier gets hurt, Justin Gaethje versus Islam Makhachev in Abu Dhabi. Because now, if these guys fight, are you hoping they turn it around in October? Maybe you can, and maybe that's fine. Now, what if Beneil Dariush wins? You're telling me Beneil gets the title shot over your newly crowned BMF? What are we doing? I don't. And maybe it's, better to have more options than less, but if they get hurt, because let's be honest, they booked this fight because they expect it to be a banger.
It's going to be a brawl,
They
yeah.
booked this fight because you're expecting these guys not to be ready to go for a minute. Let's just put it bluntly. This is a fight guys need surgery after. They need long layoffs. They need etc., etc., etc. And you still want to have a lightweight title fight in October. Oh boy. Anyway, final note on that. Is Jorge Masvidal not the BMF? Was he not knocked out by Kamaru Usman? Was Kamaru Usman not knocked out by Leon Edwards? Is there not already a BMF champion? Are we just acting like are we supposed to forget what happened to our last BMF champ?
MMA math.
Okay, that's it. All right, just say yes and I'll shut up, but I want to hear it said to me. Anyway, there we go. Give me your thoughts.
Okay, I like your perspective. You took the more serious angle here, looking at the
I
schedule
know
and the
it's a
division.
banger. It's awesome. It's gonna be great. I know that. Everyone
No.
knows
Hold on,
that.
hear me out, hear me out. Objectively, like you said, I like that. This is a great fight. These two guys back at it. It's gonna be a bloody, bloody war. They're gonna need to wear the ice masks the next day, like Chandler does. But honestly, my legit reaction was like bad words, like what the bleep. Here's why. I never expected the BMF title to be carried on. It was a thing that happened organically, created by Nate Diaz and the call out to Jorge Masvidal. They are legit BMF individuals in their respective on their respective coastlines. And it was sincere. This is a true, from the streets to the cage, these both men had hard lives. They fought their way to success, mega stardom. It made sense, and the fight was freaking good. These individuals, Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, don't have, to me, that same background. Doesn't mean they're not tough, doesn't mean they didn't have hard, challenging upbringings, but it's not the same S. And so it doesn't even make sense to me that you would carry this belt on word in the UFC. It should have just been a one and done, and that's it. Put it up on a poster, put it in the record books, and you're done. When Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, died, we weren't out there trying to find the next one, and there is no next king of rock and roll, right? It's just Elvis, Prince of Pop. It's just Michael Jackson. You don't go crown another one because the first one died. That's how I viewed the BMF, and that's why I don't like. So it's not the matchup I have a problem with. It's that they're fighting for this vacant, whatever the heck that means, BMF championship. It's BS, but the fight's gonna be killer. But then your points are also valid.
Well, thank you. That's all I care about.
That's all you care about.
Yeah, no, like I said, yeah, there's a lot of, rewriting of the history there, a retcon, if you will, as the
Geek
sci-fi and the fans like to say
says,
with
yeah.
comics. There's a retcon of the history, but okay, I'm gonna just run it down because I know this show's gonna be long, and I expected it, but still, Jan Blachowicz, Alex Pereira. Objectively, I just like it. Tony versus Bobby. I don't want this to feel like, is this the last ride for Tony and all this, but I do acknowledge that's another banger. Probably the biggest question mark, Paolo versus Ikram. And it feels like, okay, this is going to lead into another note, so I'm going to jump it. The UFC announced their return to Australia on September 9th. And they said the plan is Israel Adesanya headlines. No Paulo Costa. Take him off the board because everyone was talking, all right, Costa, Khamzat. Dana White says we have something in mind for Khamzat. He was asked, are you going to try to turn around Whittaker versus Dracus in 9 weeks from July? Can I point something out? Dracus and Whittaker could be like Gaethje and Poirier. They are stylistically expected to have a banger. Back-to-back fight camps. Title Eliminator fight camps. 9 weeks? Hell, if you hurt your face, you can't even hurt, train again for three. And so, when I saw Paulo, process of elimination said, Khamzat Adesanya this September. Let's get it. And if not, because I'll say this, remember Sean Strickland versus our guy Abus? I'm sorry, at least Abus is on a roll. Ikram?
I don't even know who that is,
Pa
honestly.
thank you.
Like, legit, I
A
do not.
and look, to pull him up. But okay, like, so you see this, and I'm like, is this what we're doing with the pieces? Because that's the only way this makes sense. You get what I'm saying? What are your thoughts on everything? Go ahead.
I mean, I will just say this about Paulo Costa. Is he not the most challenging man to matchmake for? Like, there's always an issue.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so I think that's why they're just like, give him that Ikram dude. Who? Yeah, you know that guy. I don't know.
By the
Because
way, he 14-1, 6-fight win streak, two UFC fights, contender series, and then one UFC fight to his credit.
okay, well, of course he's talented, no doubt. But I just, not that I'm so special, hasn't made my radar yet. But I think that's kind of what it has to do with. It's just like, keep Paulo Costa busy, or keep telling him, or, you know, keep being able to put down on record that we offered him a fight and he turned it down. We offered him a fight, he turned it down. I don't know, man. They're probably tired of being in the Paulo Costa business. That's my feeling. But as for the other ones coming up, Tony Ferguson, Bobby Green, Tony Ferguson's starting to enter that, like, BJ Penn, you don't really want to see him fight anymore realm, but maybe you're hoping he can pull a Hail Mary. So these always make me nervous. Although, you know, he looked really good against Michael Chandler. He was beating him up. So let's not
Also
forget
remember,
that.
he only had like 4 or 5 weeks for the. Who is he gonna fight? Was he gonna fight the Leech? Yeah,
Yes.
he was gonna fight the Leech, and then
Oh, and they fought Nate Diaz. That's right.
you
Yeah.
upgrade to a full camp Nate Diaz guy at 170, and it's like, oh, come on.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yep.
So there's a little bit of wiggle room there, but yeah, let's be real. He's lost quite a few now. And not for nothing, Beneil Dariush, who's right there for the title, Michael Chandler fighting, big fights. It's not like he's been losing to scrubs. But yes, I acknowledge Charles Oliveira. I mean, it's not like that guy hasn't gone on to make history.
I know, that's the thing. When you look at the records, like even Cerrone, it's like, oh
I
man,
mean,
you
most
lost so
guys
many.
lose to all those guys back to back to
Exactly,
back.
yeah. And so it's not a knock on you, but it's just they're always
No.
brutal defeats.
This is true. But
Yeah,
go ahead.
sorry, no, go ahead.
Well, so yeah, my whole thing, this card is fantastic, objectively. Like, stylistically, I expect good stuff from all of them. I mean, Derek Lewis, freaking all-time knockout leader, right? Come on. It's
Jambulovic,
awesome.
yeah.
Yeah, objectively, night of television, sign me up. Can't get here soon
For
enough.
sure, man. That's a card and a half. I'll pay full price for that one.
Yeah, So, Zhang Weili, Amanda Lemos in August. My one thing about this is that, tell me Yan Shonan was hurt.
Right.
I just, why?
Why?
It just felt like we were at the finish line for a big one, right?
Yeah, like we were just talking China versus China. This is going to be amazing. I don't know
Dana
why.
White seemed on board, and then it's like, what?
What in the blazes happened? I don't know.
I'm not saying it's Amanda Nunes, Juliana Pena 3 level frustration, but
Right.
it was low key up there when I read it.
Maybe this will resolve itself in the way that that one did, where we ended up getting the challenger we wanted to begin with.
But I want it with a full enough notice. I don't want no abbreviated fight camp. That fight deserves more, you
That's
know?
true.
I
You
want to
should
see
be her
them.
manager.
Yeah. Sean O'Malley, Aljamain Sterling, Natalie. I'm gonna say it here on MMA Daily. That fight does not happen in August.
I agree.
September. He's Aljo. They tried to push him for the Abu Dhabi thing. He said, "I'm hurt. I need several more months." That's just what we're gonna get. He's not gonna rush it. He is smart business. It's just not gonna happen in August, September. I'm just saying now, I think that they really wanted to add the cherry on top in response to the Ngannou stuff. I just don't think it's happening. And, I know Dana had his response and all that, but my heart says this will not happen in August, nor do I want it to. Give them a full camp. Let us enjoy the best of the best, not just. I don't like it, like with the Gilbert Burns, Bilal Muhammad. Yeah, we got a great performance from Bilal, but I don't want a big fight like that just strung together. If we're gonna do this, have them be ready so we could get the full experience of it, not just, well, we gotta throw that one out because he was hurt and all
Yeah,
that. I
that's like
don't want
Thursday night
that.
football, you know. You're never
Yeah.
gonna, you know, you're just gonna get injured, and you're never gonna get the game you want to get, and nobody wants to do it anyway.
Yeah, so that's how I feel about that. I'll leave it at that. As we round home, I'm gonna reiterate it. I don't think we're gonna see Whitaker Dreykus fight Adesanya. I think Adesanya getting Khamzat. What about you?
Yeah, I mean that's probably right, because 9 weeks is not enough time. For, I mean, you nailed it. You nailed it. They're gonna be bopping each other in the face, kicking each other's legs, and then come back in 9 weeks to face Adesanya, who just murked. Oh, geez,
Pereira.
Pereira. Thank you. So, no, I don't think so. You're
I
right.
mean, process of elimination,
Yeah,
it's all there for us, right? And
but it's smart though, because they must be thinking this, or maybe not. But look, Adesanya Khamzat, that's a freaking great matchup. And then if Adesanya wins, then he's either going to rematch Whitaker, which at this point I would still be interested in watching, or try to beat Dreyfus so he can drag him through the streets of South Africa, which I would be interested in watching. So this is a not terrible.
I don't hate these things, but I almost would have said just do Dreykus Adesanya and then put Khamzat with somebody and have Khamzat fight the winner. Instead, you're putting Dreykus at risk because, come on, I mean, are we acting like Robert Whittaker's on the other side of the hill or something? The
Yeah, I
dude's
know.
still the number two. Most people would still say 1B at middleweight to
Yeah,
Adesanya.
they would. Yep.
This is not an easy fight for people, but okay. I think that it's kind of like with Abu Dhabi. They signed this. Notice they didn't just sign a deal. They signed a commitment like every year pay-per-views in Sydney, Australia, right? Or something like that. Or at least Australia in general. So it's like Abu Dhabi every year. They don't just get a pay-per-view. They get a freaking stacked mega card. So I feel like, oh, we're making a commitment to Australia. Boom. We want a huge fight. Khamzat Adesanya is one of the biggest fights, objectively, I think, in my opinion. Like, with Ngannou and Jon Jones off the board, I'm really hard pressed to tell you a fight that I think is bigger that you can make right now. Stipe Jon Jones is big too, but I also feel like the timing, the retirement fight, that almost takes a bit of the heat away from it. I feel like Adesanya, Khamzat, you're talking about generational talent status for the winner. Like, Adesanya beats Khamzat after everything he's done. I'm sorry, but you need to start talking about him the way you talk about GSP and Jones.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's how I feel about him winning that fight. And then Khamzat, I mean, have we not been waiting for the guy who smashes everybody to maybe have a belt? If you are gonna be all that in a bag of chips, I'm ready. So I think that would be huge. I hope that's what we're getting. I would be disappointed if we don't. Look, my perfect scenario, if it's gonna be Adesanya winning, I want to see greatness. I would love for him to beat Khamzat and Dricus back to back. If it's about Khamzat doing his thing, Khamzat taking out Adesanya Whitaker back to back, let's see that. I don't know, but I want to see these guys be as great as they could be. So in my perfect world, those are the kind of fights I want to see. See them get those opponents where I could really be like, man, we're really about to see this guy clean the board, plain and simple. And that's my last thoughts on that.
All right, yeah, I'm with you.
Finally, not the next Wednesday or Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler, Ultimate Fighter set to air. Conor comes out. He's good with USADA. He's going back in the pool. This puts him right on the timetable. 6 months, fight in December, which he told Ariel Helwani is when he's expecting the fight. Dana White teases, we're going to announce it. We have the date and all that. I don't know if it's going to be like every week they're going to tease you. Are we going to announce it tonight?
Yeah, the
Oh,
tease
you
about the
gotta watch
tease.
next week. I hope they
Yeah.
don't do that. But I think that, look, it's a great teaser, another reason to watch. I'm expecting at least week one to really pop off, particularly because there's no MMA that week or
Yeah.
there's only a little fight night. I think it's gonna be big. I think, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the following week, that same week, does have UFC. With respect to Kai Kara France and Amir Albazi, we'll probably get more tough content than fight week content. And I think that they're just going to milk it and let's go. But it looks like December, Connor Chandler, what are your thoughts as we
Yeah, I mean,
close it?
I'm fine with December because we'll as long as we get it in before the end of the year. And I am very excited for Tuff. Supremely excited. The little clip I saw where they're in the PI and McGregor's sort of nervously pacing around and puffing his chest like he does, and Chandler's just cool as ice. It made me wonder, okay, how's this gonna go? You know, McGregor talks tough, but he also shows. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve in ways that maybe he doesn't even realize. And so you can sometimes tell if he's a little nervous or unsure or, you know, trying too hard to look tough. So I was getting a little bit of that energy. But I did want to know if you got a chance to watch McGregor Forever yet on Netflix.
I have not. I've been taking my time with it. I'm gonna get a. I will. I plan to. But yeah, I have not yet. Have you? Was it
I
good?
did watch it. I snuck it in middle of the night, some one of these week, one of the this week somewhere,
Heard it's
and
good.
it was pretty good, man. I really enjoyed it. I was hoping for a little more. Well, actually, I'll stop right there. I enjoyed it, and then we can talk about it when you're able to watch it.
That's fair enough. I've heard that it's not a puff piece like. You could tell produced and directed by McGregor, but
Right.
from what I've seen, I'm very shocked. I thought it was a more the recovery, like I'm seeing them go back to Fight Island and I'm seeing them go back to the Habib fight, and I'm like, oh, this thing been cooking for a long time.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, it goes as far back as Mayweather. Like, it's,
Oh,
you
wow.
know, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I've just been busy, but I plan to watch it. A lot of television.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's no fights to preview this week, so enjoy a nice weekend of MMA free. It absence makes the heart grow fonder. We'll be back soon enough. Until then, guys, remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back. Have a good one.